to me and my house.
We will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, 15.
Amen.
Oh,
After it has been done, but I don't want to boggle your mind with all these numbers. I don't know how some of y'all is. Of the Ephraimites, 20,800, mighty men of valor, famous men in their fathers' houses. And I want to preach for the next little while. Men of valor, men of fame. Lord Jesus, we are just amazed by what we are sensing here today. And our spirits are uplifted and our hearts are encouraged. Hallelujah. There may have been clouds when we got here. There may have been spiritual obstructions of our view, O God, of your glory. But those clouds have dissipated and those obstructions have been removed, and we are back in direct sight or line of sight of the glory of you sitting on your throne with your hand stretched out over this church and over this community and over our homes and lives. And we're thankful for it today. And we give you all the praise and glory for it. We just want to enjoy it. We just want to grow from it. And as we preach this word today, let it stir the hearts of our people to greater exploits in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. God did not call us and save us to live pathetic lives. We're not supposed to make it to heaven's gates bedraggled, defeated, and weak. We shouldn't be expecting to just barely make it on our last legs, discouraged, depleted, and pathetic. We find a man named Jabez by his mother because she said, "I bore him in pain." Talk about a setup for a pathetic life. Why is this guy even in the Bible? Who fought to stick his name in the middle of a bunch of genealogies? We don't even know who his father is or what tribe that he's from. Maybe his father died in one of the many wars Israel was fighting in those days. All the other family trees in that chapter, and here they're listed after their father's name. But someone must have said, "Hey, don't forget about Jabez." 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez distinguished himself in his generation, and it says in the verse, he called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain." And God granted him what he asked.
Amen. Amen.
We don't know the name of his father, his mother, or the names of his brothers. They must have been a pretty pathetic bunch. But Jabez decided he wasn't going to carry on the pathetic tradition of his family. Something got a hold on Jabez's mind and his heart. He actually paid attention to the reading and the teaching of the law. The stories of the mighty men were swimming around his mind, not like a little goldfish, but like white sharks on the hunt. He saw past the famous names and their great feats of strength and endurance. And he saw a principle at work. He saw a glimmer of something called faith in Father Abraham. He could feel a tingle of the holy presence that had fallen on Moses, Joshua, and the judges. And without warning, Jabez exploded out of obscurity of his family and his world and splashed all over God's throne room and onto the pages of Jewish history. Somebody say, men of valor, men of fame. The scribe that was writing these genealogies was given a divine interruption. This just in. A man named Jabez has just prayed an unauthorized prayer. We're not sure who this guy is or who his father is, but we're getting reports of a disturbance in heaven. Stay tuned for news as it comes available right here on station CHRON, your station for the most boring reading in the entire Bible. Let's take a minute for our main sponsor, Sleep Aid. They'll have you sleeping like a baby. God didn't call us to live boring, uneventful, pathetic lives. He is waiting for someone to step out in faith and become famous in the kingdom of heaven. Peter said we were called out of darkness and into marvelous light. He said you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are called to enter heaven with a shout, with the enemy's head in our hand and our sword held high, with a triumphant celebration as victors and conquerors of the name Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11 goes one right after the other of some of the most amazing men and women in the Bible, and the people that maybe have ever walked the face of the earth, one after the other, talking about their faith and their exploits of faith in the power of God. But it says at the end of chapter number 11 that all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us. And that's talking about me, and that's talking about you. And it said that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And then when we turn the page to the next chapter, therefore it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. You're not going to get famous by living a pathetic life, but we become famous, amen, by learning to see the power of faith in God and praying heaven shaking prayers. Amen. God is ready, willing, and able. He is just waiting for somebody to reach out and be obedient to the spirit of faith that he has put inside of us. We have got to grow into mighty men of valor. Hallelujah. Amen. We are called to be famous in our Father's house. We are called to grow into mighty men of valor. There is no magic formula to being strong champions and valiant warriors. Excuse me. We got to step out of ourselves and step into the power of the Almighty. We have to get over ourselves and get into God. Isaiah said, amen, he'll be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God. There is a hint of divine strength in that word mighty, in every mighty man. Some don't know what to do with it, and they turn it on the people around them and squander their opportunity to be famous in God's house of their own sinful appetites. But that does not change the reality of God's mighty power when it is flowing in a man of God. Jabez, the Bible said, was more honorable than his brothers. What made him so noteworthy? It's because he stepped out of his obscurity of humanity and into the mighty power of his God. Hallelujah. Who shall ascend, the psalmist said, to the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and he does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face, amen, of the God of Jacob. It is time for us to stop going along with the crowd. You've got to stop following, amen, the crowd at some point. We've got to stop letting the culture, amen, and everyone else who thinks that they've got something to say about our lives, telling us what we should do. Amen, because we are men of valor and we are men of fame in the kingdom of God. We don't need anybody to tell us what to do because we have a direct line to the throne room of God. Amen. Our Savior Jesus, amen, is interceding for us, where His shed blood has been sprinkled upon that holy, powerful altar, and our names have been written in the book of life, and we have become the sons of God by a supernatural birth. Need to tell ourselves to stop being pathetic and start doing what God said in His Word to do. To stand in the middle of the possession that God gave us and not let anybody or anything take it from us. To defend it until the last breath that we breathe. What is wrong with Christians today? What is wrong with the church today? What is wrong with men and women of God today? Where is the mighty power? Jesus said before He ascended up into heaven, I want you to hang out over there in Jerusalem and wait for Me. I'm going up to the Father and I'm going to send the Spirit on you. And when the Spirit comes on you, you will receive power. Hallelujah. You're going to receive energy of the Holy Ghost. You're going to receive Holy Ghost dynamite.
Yes, amen.
You know, the Greek word that they use in the New Testament for power is dunamis. Amen. That is referencing where we get the English word dynamo. You know what a dynamo is? It's something that when you turn it, it produces electricity. It's like the alternator in your car. Amen. When God saved you and filled you and delivered you, He put an alternator inside of you. When your prayer engine is running, hallelujah, when your worship and your praise engine is running, amen, you can run all day long because the alternator of the Holy Ghost keeps putting out power. Hallelujah, there is an attitude, amen, that comes upon a mighty man. It's not some petty look at me type of pride, but there is a pride that gets magnified inside of the heart of man. It's a godly pride. It's a heavyweight kind of pride. And it says, you don't know my God like I know my God. Hallelujah. The Bible said some trust in horses and chariots, some trust in horses. Amen. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. And David said, I will boast. Amen. Somebody, that sounds a lot like pride, doesn't it? I got some holy pride today. Amen. And I boast in that pride today. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He is the conqueror. He is the mighty God. Hallelujah. The Bible said that they prayed, and when they prayed in Acts chapter 4, the building was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God boldly. There is a certain boldness and audacious attitude that is almost tyrannical in its stubborn pursuit of God. It will not be quieted. It will not be satisfied. It will not be told to shut up. It's a kind of might that gets miracles. It's a kind of might that sees children saved at an altar. It's a kind of might that brings down darkness and strongholds in our governments. It's a power that God has put in the church to be used for His glory and to reach the lost in our world today.
Hallelujah.
That's right. Hallelujah. Famous men, mighty men of valor. The psalmist went on after that. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? And then he said this, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. It's time for you to open up your heart, time to open up your mind and your spirit. It's time to stop being pathetic, and it's time for you, amen, to stop entertaining all your pathetic friends, all your pathetic thoughts, all your pathetic emotions. psalmist goes, well, who is this King of glory? And he said, the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Hallelujah. If I wanted to, I could ask my Father right now, and he would send down 12 legion of angels. But to this end I came, a mighty man named Jesus, who willingly pressed his way through the darkness of the mind, amen, through the pain and the affliction of the flesh, amen, through the rejection and the suffering and the torment of being rejected by his own people. He faced down Satan face to face, scripture to scripture, toe to toe. Hallelujah. He hung with might upon the cross of Calvary, and with his last gasping breath saved one more soul before he died. Hallelujah. I want to preach for a little while, but I know you probably need to go on to the house. So let me just stick to my notes and not get too crazy today, Brother Philip. I'm going to control myself right now. But I just want to say this little bit here. You can tell, amen, somebody that's been in a prayer closet. You can tell somebody that's been in the Holy Word of God. You can tell somebody that is filled with the Spirit. Amen. They may not yell and shout and scream in the streets. Hallelujah. But there's a power about them. Amen. There is a confidence about them. There is a boldness about them that you cannot get from having a good father, that you cannot get from being raised in a home that is healthy and sure. But parents that love you and have a big family of siblings that will bless you and do good things to you. But there is nothing, amen, that can create this kind of power and might in your life but the Spirit of the living God. Jesus looked at Nicodemus in the book of John, chapter 12, chapter 3, and he said, you must be born again. Hallelujah. Because when you're born again, God becomes your Father for real. You become his child. And it doesn't matter what happened in the past. God works it all together for your good. We just need to let the King of glory come in and get in the middle of our mess. Hallelujah. We need to start acting like if the Lord really is strong and mighty, and the Lord really is mighty in battle, then we need to start acting like it. We need to start talking like it. We need to start living like we truly believe it. If God calls you to evangelize, this is in my notes, brother, then get out there and beat the hedges. Get out there and ply your holy trade along the city streets and the country roads. Do it until you know every pothole. Do it until you know every person that travels those roads, what their schedules are, and what they're, where they're at in their walk with God, and start compelling anyone who will listen to you to come into the house of God. Do you know that guy? Oh yeah, he's that crazy evangelist. He's converted half the town to believing in Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that guy? Oh yeah, he's written all kinds of books about God and the Bible. He even teaches about God in our local college. Do you know that guy? Oh yeah, he's a powerful prayer warrior. When my brother was dying of cancer, that man went to interceding for him, and now his cancer is completely in remission. The doctors only gave him 3 months to live, but he's still here with us 5 years later. Do you know that guy? Oh yeah, he's an amazing singer and musician. He's produced a bunch of albums. He's traveled around the world singing for Jesus. People have been converted to faith in Jesus right there in their cars when they hear his music. Do you know that guy? Oh yeah, he's a very influential member of our community, and he has championed godly business ethics and turned our local economy around. Do you know that guy? Oh yes, I do. He has championed biblical educational values that have helped our schools excel and helped numerous families and even entire neighborhoods break away from poverty, negligence, and violence.
Amen.
Does it sound like I'm talking about guys in our church?
Come on.
Hallelujah. I wrote this stuff. This stuff all came to me when I was praying for the guys in our church this week. Hallelujah. I was just like, the Lord just spoke to me and said, famous in my Father's house. Hallelujah. God did not call you to be pathetic. Men of God believe there's no such thing as a pathetic man of God. Amen. If you're pathetic, then you need to ask yourself whose man you are. Hallelujah. If you're pathetic, you need to ask yourself, what in the world am I doing? I am called to fame and strength and power in God. Amen. There are men in this church. But you have been languishing and you have been making excuses and you have been making it all about you, me, myself, and I, and your right little daily pity parties that you have. It's time for you to stop doing all of that. And it's time for you to stop making the world. We live in the world of selfies. We live in a world of self-esteem. We live in a world of building ourselves up. Amen. And all it does is destroy and crush our souls. Our souls weren't made to be self-centered people who sit around in the mully groves, but our souls were made for God. Our souls were made for the people of the world around us. God has given you things, powerful skills, shiny shields and sharp swords and spears. God has given you ability to shoot your arrows with the left hand or right handed. Some of you are dexterous Holy Ghost warriors. Amen. But you're sitting around hiding in caves just like cavemen. It's time to come out of those caves and it's time to stand your ground. God called you to bless the world. And until you start blessing the world, you'll never know the blessings that God has for you. Until you know the joy of seeing a soul saved. Amen. Why do you think Brother Philip is so ate up? Why do you think he is so crazy about souls? I'll tell you why. Amen. Because he has tasted and seen the glory of witnessing to somebody about Jesus. Seeing them baptized in his name. Seeing them filled with the Holy Ghost. And it has changed his perspective on life and living for God. And now nothing will ever satisfy him until he hears the ting of swords crossing. Nothing will ever satisfy him again until he feels the crashing of shields. Because it is something down in his soul that God put there when he filled it with the Holy Ghost. I wonder what would happen in this church if every man that is here dug down deep and found out who you were in the Holy Ghost and started becoming a mighty man of God in the Holy Ghost. I wonder how much fame that you would leave in your wake.
That's right.
Amen.
No
pun intended. I said no pun intended, but I'll take it. How much fame are you leaving at your wake? And ladies, I know I'm preaching to the men, it's Father's Day, but let me tell you something. Do you know who that woman is? Oh, yes, I do. She married Boaz, and they had a baby named Obed. And you know what they said about Ruth? How did about her baby Obed? They said, may God make your son famous. Hallelujah, like Leah and Rachel built the house of Jacob. Triumph at Naomi's daughter-in-law having a baby boy. But God heard the prayer. She wasn't a Jabez. Hallelujah. She was just a pagan idolater that found faith in Jews, the Jewish God of Jehovah. But God heard what they said in heaven, and he made her great-grandson, amen, king of it all over Israel. He became the man who was after God's own heart. For eternal continuation of the nation of Israel. He's the man, hallelujah, that the Messiah was named after, a root, amen. amen, some kind of a little shoot will come off of the root of Jesse. And somebody said an angel visited a little girl and told them, you call his name Jesus. Why? Because one little Midianite girl said, I'm not going to be prophetic. I'm not going to let the death of my husband and my brother-in-law and my father-in-law and my pagan upbringing stand between me and the greatness and the might that is in the God of Israel. And she rose up, amen, and she launched a lineage. And one day, hallelujah, I believe that us as believers will be gathered around the throne of the Lord Jesus as he sits upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And I believe that a little old lady is going to be up around that throne in a white robe. And I believe she's going to be dancing around. And somebody's going to say, who's that long-haired, long-robed lady with that white hair? And somebody's going to say, that's rude. Hallelujah. Because she refused to be prophetic. Hallelujah. But she determined, I am going to be a mighty woman of God. Let's all stand together today. Instead of a wasted life, we will leave a legacy of grace. Nobody said it was going to be easy. I guarantee you, when you decide to become who God calls you to be, it's going to be the hardest thing that you have ever done in your life. If you don't like hard things, then you're not going to like doing what God called you to do. It will be the hardest thing that you have ever done. You have never fought spiritual battles until you begin to fulfill your calling in Christ. I told the brothers, I said, if you want to get around me in prayer, you better watch out. Because everybody that ever has been crushed under the spiritual battle. I told them, you better know what you're getting yourself into. You know what they said a couple different times? Hallelujah. They were starting to rethink. I don't really know if it's worth it. This is the way it's going to be all the time. It's not like that all the time, but if it is, I don't really pay attention to it. You get used to it after a while. When you're a mighty man, you expect your adversary to be up to meet you. You expect him to be a giant. You expect him to be there. Why? Because you've got experience. You know that your enemy is always bigger than you. You learn that real quick. He's stronger than you. He's smarter than you. But you've got one thing that you have figured out that he hasn't. And that's why he is who he is, and that's why he's going where he's going.
That's right.
You figured out. Amen. That all power in heaven and earth is given to Jesus. That the fullness of the Godhead is in him. That he is the head of all principality and power. And that I am complete in him. That's what a mighty man says. You come to me with the sword of the Spirit, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, whom you have defied. It's time to stop grousing over what we don't have and what we didn't accomplish. It's time to start being thankful for what we do have and start relishing and excelling in the glory and might of God right here, right now, with what we already have. Could you feel the Holy Ghost go all over this place? When Brother Philip, he began to speak those words, God is going to do something great. We sing those songs 1,000 times, and we don't even believe it once. Did you feel the Holy Ghost go over this place when he said that? Did you feel the agreement of the Spirit go over this? If you didn't, you need to be in this altar today before you leave. Amen. You call yourself a member of this church and you didn't feel the Holy Ghost when Brother Philip said what he did, then you need to be in this altar and you need to get your spirit refreshed, because that was a word from the Lord. The faith of God just sparked in that minute inside of him, and we all could feel the agreement of it. God is going to do something great in this church. It doesn't look like it sometimes. It doesn't feel like it sometimes. But we've got this idea that what it looks like and what it feels like. I guarantee you, when Jesus was hanging on Calvary, it didn't look like victory. I guarantee you, it didn't feel like victory. And Jesus said, you better take up your cross and follow me. But on that goes on in Hebrews 12, and it says, keep your eyes on him. How to keep your eyes on Jesus? He's the author, he's the finisher of your faith. Look for the joy that was set before him. Endured the cross, despising the shame. Where is he now? He sat down on the right hand of God. You want to sit down on the right hand of God? Some cross to bear. You got some shame to bear. You got some pain to bear. Hallelujah. Just remember, when you're weak, he is strong. Just remember, his grace is sufficient for you. So glory in your infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest on you. God's waiting for you to step out and pray a prayer. He's waiting. You can't just pray about it, friend. You've got to do something about it. You know why we ask people to come to the altar? Because they need to learn to do something. You need to learn that serving God is not some kind of ecstatic state, some kind of transcendental meditative state of mind. And I'm not trying to say that we shouldn't meditate, that can't happen like that. But friend, it's work. It's a labor of love. It's a sowing. It's a reaping. But none of it is in vain in the Lord.
That's right.
You shall reap. This church has done enough sowing and enough weeding and enough root pulling and enough rock digging. There is a harvest that is coming. And I believe it's very close. And I told some of the brothers this week, I don't know if I've ever felt a spiritual battle so pitched than it was this week. So pointed, coming down on my head. Hallelujah. And I walked in the prayer closet and I said, Jesus, I said this, you said pray like this: our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And I prayed around that for a little while, and then I got to my favorite part: give us this day our daily bread. I said, Jesus, I could use the smell of fresh baked bread right now. You said you are the manna that comes down from above. I could use a little bit of that holy manna today. That's why I'm here, so we can have a little breakfast together and you can cook some biscuits and gravy for me. And I started praying for the men in our church, and just different things started coming to me. And then the Lord just said, famous in my Father's house. Hallelujah. You can hear a word from God in the middle of a storm. The Bible said in the book of Acts, they've given up all hope of being saved. But God can come to you in the middle of the storm. And he got up, Paul did, that after that night of sleeping and tossing in the waves. And he said, brothers, take good courage. An angel from the Lord stood by me tonight, and we are going to make it through this storm. We are going to get out on the other side of this trial, and no one is going to be lost. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands together today. Let's just pray together. The spark of faith that is in this building, the might and the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us, we connect. that they would light a fire, that there would be some holy combustion between our faith and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. God, I pray that you would allow a holy combustion to take place. Hallelujah. Flesh.